This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, we got Cowboys news here for you, and we'll try to answer the question, have the Cowboys actually made themselves better with all this activity in free agency over the last week? But there's some Rangers breaking news. A segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. We have a new pitcher, left-handed starter Patrick Corbin. He's not what you would call good, or at least he hasn't been since 2019. But he's kept going and started 32 games last year, had an ERA above 1.5, let's just say that. And it's been that way for the last 4.5 years, whip over 1.5. That's walks and hits per innings pitched. His ERA has been significantly higher, obviously, in the fives and sixes here of recent seasons. I don't think he's good, but you just didn't have a lot of money under that luxury tax apron to spend. So you had to find somebody who could be a credible starter. That way you don't have to plug two of these spots with a young guy or your long reliever.
Yeah, at this point, this is just a desperation move with the status of the rotation. You really have no lefties, so this guy at least brings you a lefty arm that, like you said, has the stamina to eat plenty of innings.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be very pretty.
Yeah, yeah. Expect a lot of base runners. Like, I'm surprised his ERA isn't significantly higher. He must have a knack for pitching his way out of trouble because he lets a lot of guys on. Like, every inning, over 1.5 base runners every time the inning starts. And 2 years ago, it was 1.7. He flipped and started 31 games like that, Brian, and actually threw one complete game in 2022. So, Rangers got a guy here in Patrick Corbin. I would imagine they want to have Jack Leiter as essentially their fifth starter, and maybe, you know, Corbin and him there at the back of the rotation. I just don't think you could have any faith that you should be putting Kamar Rocker out there right now, especially since he's going to be on an innings watch. Like, now's the perfect time for be like, okay, Rocker, we're going to work on you in the minors or maybe extended spring training here for a while.
Agreed. I think that's got to be the plan. And Jared Sandler just tweeted out a John Gray update. The Rangers received good news from a wrist specialist. No surgery or plates needed. The Rangers hope that John Gray will be back sometime in June. Their initial fear was post-trade deadline.
Okay, that's great.
That is good news.
First good news we've gotten on that front in a little bit. But that'll work.
What happened to Rocker?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just a little speed bump.
Yeah.
Just a little speed bump. Hopefully. Hopefully he doesn't have the yips of some kind. I think they'll get it figured out with Mad Dog and see why the mechanical beast that they are. They'll get him squared away. But I'm with you, Dawson. I don't think right now you want to be throwing him into the major league fire.
I kind of felt like that if the guy that was going to have the problems, it'd be the other guy.
Yeah.
That's the craziness about sports and just, I mean, the aspect of being a young pitcher.
Yeah, if you went into the season or went into spring training, you would think the guy that's going to struggle is Jack Leiter.
For sure.
Maybe with his confidence and things like that.
His ERA was 9.5 last year.
And then Rocker, you're kind of feeling like, okay, this guy's built for this.
I think it's just that, you know, Leiter was probably hungry all offseason to get it figured out for the first time. And last summer, Rocker got it figured out. But for a young guy, you know how it can be. How do you be consistent, right? Yeah. So he had to build to that over 3 months of minor league baseball, and then he got to that point. Can you put it back together now in 2 to 4 weeks? At least for at this point in Kamar Rocker's career, the answer to that question is no. But I'm totally confident that he'll be there by June, Ryan. So
yeah.
Let's just let him take it easy here in the spring. Okay, the Cowboys actually better. I've been wondering that. Have you been wondering that? I have. Pro Football Focus released their post-free agency power rankings. And this is interesting because you lost like 8 players, you add like 12 players, and that's more complicated than a human brain. I know Pro Football Focus's system isn't perfect, but it's the closest thing we have. And they say they've become a bottom 10 team now, slightly worse than last year's 7-10 bunch. Mm. Does that surprise you?
I felt like there's a couple of spots. I don't think the running back spot is very good. I don't think the guard spot's very good, what they did. Everything else, I feel like it's kind of a wash.
They're probably worse at corner.
Definitely worse at corner.
Yeah. That's to me, well, like I said, it depends on how they play the corner. If you get Elam and he does it, if they play him in zone, they're worse at corner.
But losing Jordan Lewis at this point, I mean, they obviously still have the draft to get that remedied. But
yeah.
the absence of Jordan Lewis is pretty glaring at the moment.
Oh, no, they could address it through the draft.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That,
I mean, that's they have to me, I just feel like if you tell me the free agents that they got, I kind of feel like that they're not very – that we'll see what happens at guard. I don't think that's an upgrade there from what you have. And like I said, I don't think the running back situation – what bothers me so much is this is a team that all they did was talk about running the ball, made a commitment to go get coaches that run the ball, have ways to run the ball, you know, and they go out and they just completely, to me, in free agency, yeah, you could have re-signed your guy. You could have re-signed Rico Dowdle and then drafted somebody and probably been a lot better off. But they're not. They
really screwed this up.
I think that, yeah, I could say, they talk about that. They talk about running and the coaches, and to me, they haven't helped. I think they made themselves worse.
But if they draft a running back that you like, would that solve it?
I was to the point where I would have not spent the money on either one of those backs, and I would have drafted. I would just double dip that running back room.
Yeah,
I've got 25 guys that I've looked at. All 25 guys I would draft.
I do think there's an upgrade when you're thinking about the general pass rush, because you've lost DeMarcus Lawrence, but you bring in Dante Fowler. He's a better pass rusher. And then the three technique, you bring back Osa, and then you bring in Solomon Thomas behind him.
Yeah.
That's better than what it was. Those are really the only two areas where you can say confidently.
Like I say, with Golston, to me, it was always like, is he a tackle? Is he an end? You know, I think they wasted a lot of his time as a player. And then, you know, they've kind of played him at one spot. But I'm okay with Turner playing as an edge and playing the run. If he's going to play the Golston role, doing it that way, sure. I think that's, like I say, I just feel like that the bad spots with a running back and the guard, those were the ones I questioned the most.
Yeah, and you know, it's just a matter of have their losses been bigger than the ads that they've done, and I don't know. I think it's close to a wash. But what about the other part of Pro Football Focus's article here that they're now a bottom 10 team in the league? I don't know if they're that bad. I think that might be overreacting.
If they would have not signed anybody or traded for anybody, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If they just let all their depth walk out the door and Jordan Lewis and say they didn't get Osa done. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, right now you've upgraded your pass rush a little bit. I mean, it's not like 10 times better, but you've upgraded it, I think, a little bit with the Fowler stuff.
Fowler's a better pass rusher than Tank.
But your run defense has not gotten any better. I mean, Golston and DeMarcus Lawrence were two guys.
You've added a couple of linebackers that were leading tacklers on their teams, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you saw that Eric Kendricks was a tackling machine. It doesn't mean that you have a good run defense. You still need a one tech to help that issue.
Yeah,
and then your corners right now are poor. So your pass defense and your run defense haven't gotten any better. If this draft isn't awesome, I think there is a world where you're talking about this being a bottom feeder type team.
Yeah, they're gonna have to get some help. But I just think, like, especially in the analytics world, they're using like the per play efficiencies from last year. And last year you had some weird things going on where you're learning a new defense. You're trying to give Zeke the ball for half the season. You know, you have a rookie left tackle, and I just don't know that whatever they put inside the computer or on film in the first half of last year is really that representative of who they are as a football team.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to be learning a new defense again, and now you're learning a new offense. We think this is a better offense, and we're glad that they're doing it, but what type of learning curve is there going to be like the defense last year? And now you're having that on both sides of the ball.
Sure.
Dak off an injury, and your wide receivers, you haven't gotten better at wide receiver either.
Not yet.
So it's like you got to get better at running back, wide receiver, corner, and a run-stopping defensive tackle to even feel like you have a chance. You need four guys that can contribute in this draft day one.
Sounds like all possibilities at 12.
Yeah, and their first four picks. You know, just give me those positions off the board in whatever order it makes sense. Mashota has three free agents who could still help. Wide receiver Keenan Allen is out there, 32 years old, had 750 yards in 15 games last year. I like the idea of drafting a guy, but having Keenan Allen could definitely help right now. Asante Samuel Jr. is 25 years old now, has not been amazing, smaller guy, but he would make the Cowboys cornerbacks as a group a little bit better. Wants a four-year deal, though. I don't know if that's realistic. Calais Campbell at flipping 39 years old was the highest graded interior run defender in the league last year at Pro Football Focus. Still getting it done.
That's easy money right there. That should be a no-brainer. That is not a dude that's coming expensive. He's just kind of an NFL Iron Man as a run defender, still getting it done in a big way. Keenan Allen would be an absolute upgrade. I think Tevin Jenkins is still available on the offensive line. If you want to throw a dart there, don't expect them to. But yeah, there are a couple more veteran dudes outside. I don't think the Asante Samuel one would be. That dude's just always banged up. Shoulders, concussions, and he's tiny.
Speaking of easy money, Chief, you mentioned it perked me up a little bit because coming up at 4:40, Rangers things you can gamble on. Okay, they got player props. There's three of them, massive mistakes on Vegas. We can clean them out for entertainment purposes only, not financial advice, but that's coming up at 4:40. We're gonna clean out the casinos here on these player props for the Rangers. Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, let me give you the worst first-round fits for all these NFL teams. We'll do that next.